show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The psalm this morning is Psalm 121 that we will recite together.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore.
So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we do, what we know, and testify to what we have seen, and yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As normally happens on time change day, most of our families with small children are not here this morning, and they'll be coming to the second service, so we'll be moving on to the sermons. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you make us new in the waters of baptism. We pray that your Holy Spirit would enlight upon us and that we would see the newness that comes only from you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Are you a born-again Christian?
Yes.
Got an answer already, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a phrase that some of you may have heard before, right? It's a phrase that's probably not as popular nowadays as it has been in the past. You know, people say, "Well, I'm a born-again Christian," and we kind of have an idea of what that means, right? Maybe people have asked, "Have you been reborn into Jesus Christ?" And sometimes our answer can be like, "Well, yeah, but not like born again," as if we want to qualify it. Because I think for a lot of us, that phrase means more, or has more to do with practice than actual theology. More to do with rhetoric than actual belief. Today, as Lutherans, as part of a Lutheran church, I'm going to challenge us, I guess not all of us, but challenge us who don't think of ourselves as born again to reclaim our born againness. I've been doing this a lot lately, haven't I? I've been challenging us to reclaim some of these words that we think are sort of taboo words, right? I've been having us reclaim what it means to be evangelical, because we are the evangelical Lutheran church. I challenge us to reclaim what it means to be stewards, right? Stewardship, not just about filling our bankrolls, but about talking about our trust in God. And so today I'm encouraging us to rethink and reclaim what it means to be born again. So this gospel lesson that I just read has so many great verses. It's got the story about Nicodemus. It's got one of, if not the most famous Bible verse in the world, right? And we had a choir anthem about it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him would have eternal life and not perish but have eternal life." Right? We see the basketball games and held up on signs and people have it tattooed all over themselves. And those of you who know me and have heard me preach, it also has one of my favorite verses, which is not John 3:16, but John 3:17. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." That's one of my favorite verses because it talks about the nature of Jesus. And I think so often people who don't want to hear about Jesus or hear about my God are worried that my Lord, the one I profess and proclaim as Lord, is just coming into the world to tell people all the ways that they've sinned and screwed up. Come into the world to condemn people and tell them how they're wrong. But I believe that the Son of Man came into the world not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. But I wanted to look a little bit at the story of Nicodemus. This beautiful story that talks about being born again. In verse 6, it, Jesus says, what is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, Nicodemus, it starts out by saying, now a Pharisee named Nicodemus. We know right there that that tells us something. That he was part of the elite. He was part of the people who were in the know about everything theological, everything scriptural, everything having to do with the temple. He was closer to God than most other folks. And yet he comes to Jesus, this renegade, this outlaw, this man who was speaking truth to power, who nobody wanted to listen to, and he came to him during the middle of the day, right? No, he comes to him at night. He comes to him at night, sneaking there at night. That tells us that Nicodemus knows that something is up with this Jesus of Nazareth guy, but he doesn't, and he needs to know what it is, but he doesn't want others to see him. He's afraid of what others might do or say if this learned man, this man who's supposed to have all the answers, is going to Jesus? Isn't he that weird guy who's saying we need to have this sort of baptism of repentance? I don't know. He's got that crazy Uncle John, or that crazy cousin John. I'm not quite sure about his family lineage. And so Nicodemus comes to him at night and asks, what must I do? And Jesus says, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. And Nicodemus is thinking very logically. He's going back to scripture. He's saying, wait a minute, I was born once, and then I had my time away, and then I was probably circumcised in the temple, and I did all the things right when I was born. You mean I need to do that again? How can that be? I'm a grown-up. And Jesus says, no. You're thinking about it wrong. You're thinking of the flesh. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. The big difference in being born of the spirit is that it happens more than once. It happens to us again and again as people of faith. When people become new members here or renew their membership after a long time, does anybody know what it is that we say? Yeah, Amy just did it. Affirmation of baptism, right? We affirm our baptism. We say, you know what? Yeah, I feel the Spirit moving in this community, and I want to affirm those promises made to me back when I was made new in the waters of baptism. I'm going to affirm them. When our students are confirmed, those girls who I just showed you pictures of this spring when they're going through confirmation is called the affirmation of baptism. It's that movement of the Spirit in unexpected ways. I wish that we did the affirmation of baptism like on a regular basis. You know, I wish that it was something where people say, you know what, I went through this difficult time, but I felt the Lord with me, and I just felt like the Spirit was calling me to do whatever it is. It's like time to affirm your baptism because the Spirit is at work. I mentioned that one of our chaperones, along with Vicar Matt Pulsdoffer, is Amanda Zambrano, who's a college student. And I feel like her going as a chaperone is one of those times that could affirm her baptism. I feel it's one of those times where the Spirit is at work. You see, Amanda is a student this year at California Baptist University out in Riverside, CBU. And normally when we leave to go to Luther Glen up in, you know, Oak Glen in Yucaipa, we leave here and we go on the 60. I'm such a Californian, right? We go on the 60 and we get on the, okay. So we go on the 60, but we drive this way. So a few weeks ago, we had the high school retreat and the students had Monday off. So instead of it being Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I went up to join them in their chaperone Sunday after church, which means I was coming from my house over there in La Mirada. So I just plug it in my GPS, and it took me a different way. It kind of took me up the, I don't know, 215, the 15. Now it shows I'm not a Californian. It took me up a different way, but as I was driving, I drove right past, in big letters, CBU. And I thought, oh, California Baptist University, that's where Amanda goes. I said, I wonder if she would ever want to come along as a chaperone. She's a college student. She'd be great with our younger students. I get up to camp that night. Or that afternoon and that evening, I was talking with Carrie Ospital, who is one of our diehard camp chaperones. She would be up at the farm every weekend if she could, and so I usually don't have to look for another chaperone. And I said, well, you know, the middle school retreat's in about 3 weeks. Are you able to? She goes, oh, I can't. I'm not available that weekend. And I thought, huh, I wonder if the spirit is at work. It's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, but I thought, Amanda's young, she's up. So I shot her a quick text and I said, hey, Pastor Kate here. Any chance you'd be interested in being a chaperone up at Luther Glen? And her reply was, yeah. Typical millennial. And she said, yeah. So I replied, I'm so excited, here's the information. And then she wrote back to me, this is crazy, but I just met a new friend at college from Yucaipa, the town where Luther Glen is. And I was telling her about these amazing experiences I had at camp and how I always felt so close and intimate with God and how important the prayer labyrinth was. And I was just thinking, I need to get back up there sometime. And then you texted. And I have to believe that that is the Spirit at work. That is the Spirit at work affirming her baptism. Right? Because you never choose when you will be born. And often we don't get to choose when we will be born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In our baptisms, we talk about putting to death the old Adam and the old Eve. And if we are baptized as infants, the Spirit is there whether we know it or not. Those who've been baptized as adults or youth, you decide when you get to be baptized, right? But it's not when you finally read enough theology or that the logic, you know, of putting your old self to death. No, it's not like I'm finally ready. It's the Spirit has made me ready to be reborn. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. So we're right now in the season of Lent. We started with Ash Wednesday and we're moving towards Easter. Here is the time of year when we are reborn. It started with those ashes on our forehead. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. And we are waiting to be reborn. Not 9 months, but 40 days. A pregnant pause. Because not only is Christ risen, but we are given new life in the Jubilee, in the lilies, in the cheers, and in the alleluias of Easter. The best example of being reborn happens at the beginning of worship when we confess our sins and receive the full forgiveness. We receive a clean slate. The sins are Christ's to carry, not ours. Because we can sometimes be careless with Christ's forgiveness. We can sometimes be careless forgetting that our sins have been forgiven, as have those of the people around us. However, this is the big however here. This is the but. This is the point where everything changes. God's care is greater than our carelessness. God's care is greater than our carelessness. We are born people of the Spirit in our baptism and in our Lenten journey, in our continual forgiveness, and the many, many other ways that the Spirit works in and through us. Let us proclaim our stake in being born again. Amen.